Everybody's always talking about wish lists. We need more wish lists. We need more wish lists. Well, we've got Michael from Vicarious PR to talk about unlocking wish lists through influencers and advertising. And he's all fired up and ready to go. Right, Michael?
As fired up as one can be. Yeah, sure.
There we go. All right. Take it away.
Cool. All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Michael. Today, we're going to be talking about unlocking wish lists through influencers and advertising. And so it's essentially going to be a focus on effective marketing through, you know, content creators, digital advertising, whether that's social media advertising or other paid forms of advertising. A little bit about me is very simple. I am the CEO and co-founder of Vicarious PR. Vicarious PR is a industry leading and award-winning PR and marketing agency. We cover everything from indie dev teams to AAA publishers and kind of the wide range in between. We've done a lot of stuff over the last 7 years, including winning multiple awards, generating a lot of sales for our partners. And we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two in that way. So today's primarily going to be focused on influencers and digital ads, more so on the social media advertising side of things, but a lot of it applies to any form of advertising. We're going to be covering a couple of different things, really mostly going to be learning around why influencers are valuable, what influencers are, talking about what advertising really is at its core, and a lot of the kind of preconceptions and myths that people have around digital advertising, especially when it relates to video game advertising and as well as PC specific advertising. And then also we're going to look into how to think about advertising and figure out, you know, how you should approach advertising in terms of strategy, in terms of perception, in terms of relating it to your game. And then all of that will culminate in, you know, how to do these things effectively so that it drives wish lists and once the game's out, sales as well, you know, sub factors of like community growth and things like that. So at the end, I will do questions. So feel free to post questions in chat periodically and I'll answer them all at the end. So it's not a problem. So we'll have plenty of time to do that. So we're going to start with influencers first and deep dive into the world of YouTube, Twitch, and other social media platforms. So first, as a baseline, we should start off with kind of what are influencers and what defines influencers as influencers, I suppose. Traditionally, an influencer is usually defined by they are independent content creators that are not affiliated to like a traditional media site, whether that's like in the form of journalism or in the form of like a site that produces, you know, content. They are often regular people who start off as regular people looking to share their passion or use it as a creative outlet for whatever they want to do, and they are often, you know, a lot more, person to person and direct with their audience. So they carry a very direct relationship to their audience. And that allows them to build a lot of credibility and have a lot of relatability in terms of the viewership and the audience interaction with influence with themselves. They tend to be their own brand. Now, some influencers obviously are character driven. So, you know, there's a lot of famous influencers who kind of play a persona. But even then, they tend to come across as more authentic, even when they're playing characters, than more traditional forms of media. So that's kind of, you know, usually what defines an influencer in that standpoint. Obviously, in terms of platforms, they they do tend to stick towards the more like open platforms such as YouTube or Twitch or Kick or whatever it may be. And then it's important to define them, because the way in which you as a developer, or you know, as a marketing person or the marketing team that you're working with, have to approach influencers, you have to approach them from a certain standpoint, and the only way to do that effectively is to really understand, you know, who they are, because influencers ultimately aren't press, and so they're not looking for the same things as press, and therefore they shouldn't be spoken to or outreach to like press or like consumers or like you know, other businesses, or you know, whatever the avenue is. Influencers also, you know, when especially in video games, when we talk about influencers or content creators, we often are referring to like YouTubers or Twitch streamers, but the reality is influencers can span multiple platforms. You can have TikTok only influencers, you can have Instagram influencers, you can have on just, you know, influencers online, you can have virtual influencers now, you can have AI influencers now, and so there's, you don't have to 100%, you know, kind of close yourself in when thinking about like what kind of influencers that you want to outreach to, because there are influencers on almost every kind of platform imaginable. And while obviously YouTube and Twitch in terms of games are, you know, the bigger realms of where influencers are, it's always good to think about expanding your outreach to influencers and including them on other platforms, because you may find that influencers have dedicated audiences on other platforms that are only reachable that way. So, you know, always bear that in mind. Influencers, you know, obviously come in different shapes and sizes in terms of their audience sizes as well. So you've got micro influencers, which are, you know, very, very small creators. You've got, you know, smaller influencers, you've got mid-tier influencers, you've got large influencers, and then you've got like influencers that are, you know, mega tier celebrity status influencers that have millions and millions of followers and subscribers. And so they're all very different in and provide different value, but that isn't to say that, you know, the giant influencers provide inherently more value than smaller influencers, because, you know, yes, in terms of pure viewership, then obviously bigger influencers are going to be inherently there's more eyeballs on that, but depending on the game, depending on the target audience, depending on the genre, you know, smaller influencers can be, you know, of huge value to games and brands across the board, because they tend to have very dedicated audiences. They tend to have very close relationships with audiences. They tend to, audiences tend to gravitate towards smaller influencers when the influencer is very like them in terms of personal preference for games. And so in terms of like conversions, you might find that, yeah, you know, influencer X got a bajillion views, but in terms of actual conversion to wishlist, it might that the traffic might not be there. But whereas a smaller influencer with maybe a couple of thousand followers maybe has something ridiculous like 50 to 60% conversion, because they're a very targeted, dedicated audience, and that influencer only plays that particular genre and knows that, you know, knows the games in that genre inside and out, and so they take the recommendations very seriously and are like, oh well, if they play it, then I'm going to play it too because they like what I like. And so never discount the value of an influencer based on size, because oftentimes you will find that conversions vary quite wildly across, you know, the different sizes and scales of influencers. And ultimately, you know, influencers, the reality is in today's world, influencers drive a lot of traffic and wish lists and ultimately sales as well. They are predominantly one of the biggest forces of games getting a lot of commercial success across the board, almost for every genre. Whether that's, you know, a free-to-play multiplayer battle royale game, whether it's a single-player RPG, you know, whether it's a 2D puzzle platformer, influencers are very targeted and they can generate a lot of buzz, a lot of awareness, and move traffic and wish lists on the Steam store very, very quickly, especially when, you know, the outreach and the content and how good the game is all match up and align in the right way. It can be massively impactful for a campaign. And oftentimes we've seen in the industry, especially over the last, you know, decade or so, that, you know, so for some games, influencers have been the sole reason why they are as successful as they are. I mean, if you look at games like Among Us, where Among Us, when it was released, didn't really pick up much traction. And then, you know, a year or two later, influencers on Twitch pick it up and it goes viral. And then suddenly it is a worldwide smash hit, just like that, overnight almost. And there's been many instances where that's the case. I mean, even AAA games are, you know, utilize influencers in big ways. I mean, when EA launched Apex Legends, their whole almost dynamic of the surprise announcement and launch of the game was effectively based on widespread influencers playing the game and making the game instantly popular. So influencers are incredibly invaluable to marketing campaigns across the board. And so make sure that, you know, when you're thinking about your outreach to your game, that influencers are something that you spend a lot of time and effort on. So there's two categories of influencers, effectively. One is earned influencers and one is paid influencers. So, and it's important to define them because there's a lot of misconceptions about paid influencers versus earned influencers. Now, earned influencers are essentially influencers who you outreach to, maybe by email, maybe by, you know, jumping in their Twitch chat and say, hey, check out this game, whatever it may be. And so you outreach to them, or your PR team reaches out to them, and they play the game because of that outreach, because you put the game on their radar. And that's what we call, that's what's qualified as an earned influencer. So they play the game for free, but it's based on your or someone, you know, aligned with you, outreach to that influencer. Oftentimes people get earned influencers and organic influencers confused, and oftentimes they use the terminology organic influencers interchangeably. But actually, in reality, organic influencers are influencers who pick up the game through no outreach at all, and maybe discovered it on Steam. Maybe their audience mentioned it to them. Maybe they just, you know, stumbled upon it somehow. But technically, an organic influencer is someone who is completely organic and has no, there's been no outreach to them whatsoever. And then paid influencers, it's an influencer who is sponsored, right? Or takes part in a promotional campaign for a particular game, and the developer or publisher or whomever pays the influencer to produce content, whether that's a sponsored stream, whether that's a gameplay video, whether that's a creative piece of content, and so they're paid for. And obviously, from a paid standpoint, they have to disclose that they're sponsored for the video. Everybody, especially us at agencies, we have to abide by FTC compliance and make sure that things are disclosed when it comes to sponsored stuff. Paid content in particular can take a variety of forms. There's often a lot of misunderstandings about what paid influencer content actually is. A lot of people think that it's like paid reviews. That's not the case at all. In fact, it's very rarely ever the case that someone's been paid for a review, because usually any influencer who actually reviews games as their like main source of content usually abides by a series of ethics, and also a lot of agencies and marketers abide by a similar set of ethics. And so paid reviews aren't really a thing. They have happened in the industry, but it's not usually due to the evil PR people or something like that. It's usually an outlier, usually direct with the company, and it's way rarer than people think it is. And so it's also very disingenuous. So, you know, it doesn't come off well. And it's a really easy way for both an influencer and a brand to screw up their entire reputation and audience. But that's neither here nor there, really. A lot of people think like paid content is just like, oh, I have to pay a streamer, you know, some money for a stream, a 2-hour stream, or I have to pay a YouTuber to play my game. It doesn't have to be like that. There's a lot of creative ways to do paid content with influencers. You know, whether it's like a cool in real life thing where they go out and film a scene from the video game in cosplay, or we did one a while back where we had a blacksmith recreate one of the in-game weapons in real life and then test it out on melons and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be necessarily just someone sitting there playing the game for an hour or so. There's a lot more creativity to that. And oftentimes what we find in terms of the data is that the more creative you get with your paid content, the better that it performs, because people don't just want to see somebody sit there and play a game for an hour and say, hey, that was a sponsored stream, see you later. People like to see, you know, fun things, unique creative activations that are designed to actually entertain the audience and leave a positive feeling and positive perception about the game at the end, rather than just here's a list of features and let me push this on you. So that gives you a little insight into paid content and paid influencers. So next is, what do influencers look for, right? Like, I talked about like how influencers are not press, and they shouldn't be outreached to like press. And it tends to be because what press are looking for is not the same as what influencers are looking for. What an influencer looks for in a game is not necessarily what the average player looks for in a game, right? Like, everybody's looking for something different. And so you have to kind of tailor your outreach to match what the target intended recipient is actually going to be looking for. So when it comes to influencers, you know, you've got to think about like what they are. That it's it tends to be a very visual medium, right? So it's usually video, whether that's, you know, pre-recorded or live stream, or short clips on social media. So they're really looking for games that have got a good viewability to them in terms of, hey, this looks nice on screen. This looks fun when I play it. This, you know, this is somewhat easy to understand what's going on, or at least, if not 100% easy to understand in terms of understanding each specific mechanic, you can look at the game and go, oh, I kind of get what's going on here, and it looks nice, and it looks fun, and I can kind of engage on a visual level. The games that really suffer when it comes to that are obviously games that are way more static, don't look good when they play, you know, or have art styles and color themes that are become almost like a visual mess of color vomit across the screen, where it's very hard to watch. And so viewability is very important to influencers, because they want something that's going to look good, because all they're very concerned about their audiences, you know, enjoying the content that they're doing, having retention to that, that they watch it through, and you know, so on and so forth. And then they're also looking for things like assets and visuals in terms of viewability as well. So assets and visuals are going to be important. So making sure that you give them really cool assets to make thumbnails with, like thumbnail creation in particularly in the YouTube space is incredibly important to content creators across the board. Like, folks spend like hours on creating thumbnails because it is the first thing that people look at and decide on whether they're going to click on it and watch or not. So people spend a lot of time creating those thumbnails, so making sure that included in your press kit is a series of assets, particularly like transparent background PNG stuff, where with assets from the game that people can, you know, crop their heads onto a character or give like separated backgrounds so they can kind of mix and match what they want. Assets and visuals are very, very important. So making sure that your press kit is stocked with a variety of assets specifically designed for influencers is is really, really important and very valuable to them. And oftentimes we've actually had a lot of YouTubers say to us, like, hey, I was on the fence about this particular game, but looked at the press kit and you've given us like a ton of stuff to work with. So that's really appreciated. And we're going to cover it because we're really, you know, we really like the assets provided here. Another one is the personal and audience interest, right? So to a degree, influencers are thinking about views and clicks, right? Almost very somewhat similar to press in terms of press are looking for clicks. They're looking for headlines. They're looking for stuff that's going to draw in traffic to their site. Influencers are looking for stuff that either A, the audience has an established interest in already, which is why popular games get more popular, right? Because if there's a proof of audience out there, whether it's in the form of existing wish lists, whether it's in the form of a Kickstarter campaign that went viral, whether it's in the form of a game announcement that made waves on social media, if there's a proof of audience there, and that is related to the influencer's own audience, then ultimately that's going to be a big piece of leverage to be able to get influencers to play the game. The other side of that is the personal interest, right? Because influencers are very direct and often very authentic, and they tend to play things that they like and enjoy from a personal standpoint, getting them excited from a personal level about a title is a surefire way to get the game some coverage and get them to play it. So, you know, when talking and doing research into which influencers we think would be a good fit for a given game, we're going to be looking at like what type of games have they played in the past. We'll watch some videos and be like, what did they like about this particular game and what did they not like? Is there any crossover between the game that we're doing right now? Is there a particular thing that they didn't like in one game that this game actually solves, or something like that, where we can kind of hook it into that and say, hey, I remember that you didn't like this particular feature because this was frustrating, like the inventory management was frustrating. Well, our this new RPG has a innovative, and I don't like to use the word innovative, but let's just use it for the sake of example, innovative inventory management system that's never been seen before, all that kind of thing. And so getting them personally excited about a game and a genre, in a genre that they love, is a really, really pretty much one of the surefire ways of getting an influencer's eyebrows raised and going, oh, that looks really interesting. And the last one is emotional connection. So when pitching influencers, and to a degree when pitching anybody, whether it's influencers, press, consumers, whoever, your goal should not be to shove information down somebody's throat and give them a wall of text to read. It should actually be to get them excited and invoke an emotional response and build an emotional connection to the game, whether it's through visuals, whether it's through GIFs, whether it's through the trailer, but get them excited and looking at stuff from that standpoint. You know, Helldivers 2 is a great recent example of this, because Helldivers 2 does a great job of evoking emotion in its marketing materials and got people excited about different elements. So there were some people who were excited about shooting aliens with a group of people, right? There are some people who really like the overall theme and world building of Helldivers, because it's very much like Starship Troopers in a way. And so they play on that like nostalgia of like Starship Troopers kind of B-movie quality dystopian future world with shooting aliens, and then you've got the, you know, the robots as well, where they pull in the Terminator vibes as well. And so they evoke a lot of emotional responses in the audience through both the marketing materials and the gameplay itself. And then if you go on TikTok right now and look at some of the Helldivers content that's been being made by both influencers and just players in general, you know, it's all based on emotion. It's all like, oh, we're on this planet and we're getting our asses kicked by the automatons and we wanted reinforcements and they never came and stuff like that. And it's all emotional based. every part of it. There's no one making content being like, hey, I'm going to go shoot some things and have a wander around and it's going to be dull. It's all based on like, you know, we're the vets of this campaign and, you know, we need help and, you know, things are going bad and we're in the gutters and all that kind of thing. So building emotional connections through your marketing materials and through your outreach and through both from a, you know, your wording as well as your visual materials is incredibly, incredibly important focus point. And it's something that is like for me, from a personal marketing philosophy level, is like the thing that I look to achieve every single time. Because, you know, if you can get someone emotionally invested in the game that you're talking about, you're pretty much 75% of the way there already, right? So if you can, because if you get someone excited about it, the little details don't really matter to a degree, because they've already got their brain moving and being excited and investing about it. So something to bear in mind on that front. So outreaching to influencers. There's a couple of ways to do it. One is do it yourself. And the other is through an agency or, you know, hire a marketing person internally. There's pros and cons to each and all. Doing it yourself is, I always say to developers, like, it's a very authentic way of doing it. That being said, though, you know, it's not just sending emails. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, marketing's easy. You just send emails. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, go send 500 emails, see how many people reply to you. It's not that easy. So, you know, there's a lot of building relationships involved. Obviously fierce competition when it comes to outreach. You know, influencers and also press are getting, you know, hundreds of emails a day about different games. And especially when it comes to like bigger events like the NextFest, that's even more so increased. And so, you know, there's a lot of competition for the same attention. And so being able to do it well is very, very important. When you hire somebody to do it, especially that's a good agency, that's reputable, that's done a lot of successful campaigns, oftentimes the benefit of an agency is that they have established relationships with a lot of these influencers. And so they've worked with them before over many years. So, you know, it does help on the readability side when you're outreaching to an influencer who you've got a relationship with and they know you. So they're like, oh, I know that person. I'm going to open that email regardless of what it is. So, you know, but, you know, obviously the downside is that, you know, you have to spend the marketing money for it. So, yeah, it depends on your situation. But regardless of, you know, what avenue you go for, in terms of how you do your outreach, it's incredibly important to make sure that it's done correctly. It's done holistically. It's well researched, it's well targeted. And there's a strong, well thought out strategy behind it. The second thing of outreaching to influencers is show, don't tell. Do not write an essay of 4 or 5 paragraphs about your game. It's not going to get read, especially for influencers. Influencers are a very visually focused audience. So, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to read the email subject. So your email subject has to be very good, and it can't be cheesy. It can't be spammy. It can't be clickbaity either. It has to be authentic, but clever and smart in many ways. And then they're going to open the email, and the first thing they're going to do is look for visuals. They're going to look for visual indicators of, like, does this look good? And if they don't see those, and let's say you just send text, the first thing they're going to do is look at the Steam page. And they're going to, you know, and oftentimes they might look at a visual in the email and then go to the Steam page. And oftentimes they will decide solely based on how the game looks. You know, you've got 30, it's like a 30-second decision process, effectively. So making sure your visuals are good is massively important. And I know, I'm not a big proponent of, like, games are just about graphics and I don't think that, because obviously gameplay is incredibly important also. But the reality is, and people don't say it enough, to be honest, is that visuals are very, very, very important, because without your visuals, you don't get past the first hurdle. Rarely ever. Because that decision-making process of if I'm going to invest the time in actually reading your copy, if I'm going to invest the time of like looking up more about this game to then go to the next step, is all based on the visual representation of your game. So those visuals have to leave a strong, impactful first impression across instantly, almost. I mean, you've got to grab them. So, oh, Jay's here to heckle. Awesome. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. I'll heckle you back. I'll get you back. Don't worry. And the third part is build relationships and produce opportunities. So, like I said, influencers are getting outreach to all the time. They're going to be very, very busy. So it's important to look at things like building your relationship over time. So for streamers, for example, following the streamers regularly, viewing their streams, interacting with them in the chat, not just like spamming your game in that way, but like, you know, just talking about games in general and talking about what they're playing and what their thoughts are on games and stuff like that. That's a good way to build relationships. Interacting over social media is a great way to build relationships. And then also produce opportunities. So if at first you, let's say you've got a preview build of your game and you want influencers to play it, going out there and, you know, shooting an email, maybe they don't respond. But that doesn't mean like go then spam them 70 times in the following days until they tell you to go somewhere. Think about how you can create unique opportunities for them to be invested in your game, whether it's like an exclusive influencer weekend, whether it's you're going to drop a demo on Steam, whether it's, you know, the next event that you're doing, whether, you know, one of the Steam Fests or a digital event that you're showcasing. Like, use these opportunities to outreach and invite influencers to come and try the game at every opportunity, so that you're producing opportunities to allow the influencers different kind of touch points to interact with your game in that way. So that's incredibly important, because, you know, not everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon the first time around, especially if it's like a game that doesn't have an established IP or something like that. Frequently asked questions about influencers that I always get is how much do they cost when you're doing paid influencers? A lot. It varies. Smaller influencers, $200,000, depending on their size. Mega, super successful influencers, don't know, anywhere between like $70,000 to $200,000, give or take. It varies quite wildly. Honestly, it's a bit of a wild west to a certain degree. If you're considering paid influencer campaigns, think about more than followers. Think about actual viewership numbers. How, like, because some people have 2 billion subscribers, but they might only get, you know, 50,000 views per video. So think about that kind of thing as well when negotiating the price. Oftentimes they can be negotiated with, but sometimes they can't because they have a set price, because they might be working with a management or talent agency, something like that. But honestly, it varies. You can't be going into this thinking like, hey, I want a Jacksepticeye or a Markiplier of the world for like $2,000. It's just never going to happen. Add a couple more zeros and then you'll probably be about right. But it can be incredibly expensive, but also provides massive value in ROI. So, you know, it's ultimately depending on your budget availability and what you can actually afford in terms of your marketing spend, right? Another one I get often is which influencers should I reach out to? My answer usually is figure out who your target audience is first, and then that'll kind of lead the way. So, you know, if you're, depending on what genre you're in, if you're doing a, you know, an action adventure game, or you're doing a an RPG or something like that, figure out, you know, what influencers are covering those type of games. Figure out what your audience, who your audience is, where they go, which influencers they go view, and then just start, you know, researching. And the research, there's a lot of research involved in this. It's not just like, hey, go get a list, any old shit list from the internet, and send an email out to everybody. It has to be a curated, targeted, well-researched list, so you know that you're outreaching to each one individually and putting the work in and understanding what they're looking for and what they like and what they don't like. Is there a standard conversion rate is a question I get. No, is the answer. It varies from genre to genre, game to game, influencer to influencer, you know, and in addition, it's very difficult to track accurately because, you know, even if we provide trackable links, a lot of, you know, viewers don't use them. They'll just go, you know, if they're viewing YouTube on Chrome, they might not click the link and go to Steam on Chrome. They might just open Steam in the other tab. So it's almost impossible to track accurately, to be honest. There's relatively accurate measurement. Well, accurate. There's relatively good estimates. And again, they vary depending on the influencer and the game and stuff like that. So you can go anywhere from, you know, 2-3% to 7-10%, or sometimes more, depending on the virality and you know, other variables within the marketing campaign and the space in the industry at the time. Video, should I do video creators or streamers? Depends on the game, honestly. My recommendation is, if you're doing paid campaigns, video creators are probably better because the content stays there for a long time, so it's way more viewable and able to accrue views over time. That being said, though, if the game is very good for a Twitch audience and that kind of thing, then streamers are the way to go. And sometimes it's both. It really just depends. If your game is like very short and very narrative heavy, I would say, you know, maybe a little bit of both, but pick your influencers carefully because you don't want the game narrative spoiled. So, you know, you've got to kind of weigh the pros and cons up of the medium and the content versus the game itself. I'm going to speed through these because I'm actually running out of time, which is kind of odd for me because I'm usually done in 10 minutes. Other ways to build things that attract influencers in the game. So yes, you know, depending on the game you're making, building features that influencers enjoy is good. Things like Twitch integration, things like Easter eggs and little, you know, references, stuff like that. It's very cool. We had a horror game that we actually put in one of the influencers in a scribbled crazy man's note thing that was, you know, that they really appreciated and the audience loved. So stuff like that. Smaller creators and big versus big channels, again, they both have value, so I always recommend doing both where it makes sense to. Next is we're going to look at what is advertising. So moving over from influencers to digital advertising. So advertising is traditionally defined by the activity of producing ads for a commercial product with the goal of like persuading somebody to buy something or to sell something to somebody, right? That's kind of the traditional corporate, let's say, messaging of what advertising is. That's not my belief. It's not my philosophy. And I don't think it's necessarily true in any industry across the board. I think in reality, what advertising is a couple of different things. One is it's the science of telling stories and building emotional connections. People hate ads, right? I hate ads and I'm an advertiser. Nobody likes the traditional ads of like pop-up ad or, hey, look at this thing, look at this thing, look at my product, buy this. Nobody likes that shit at all. Advertising is more of a more of a platform to do content rather than the thing of what you're doing. So you should actually use advertising to tell stories and build emotional connections with your target audience, with your consumers. It's a great way to build audience. It's a great way to build awareness for a game. It's a great way to connect with your audience. It's really about like using your creativity and putting communication and creativity together to create something that's really impactful and good. And it's often, I always say, it's like art meets strategy. So strategy, art without strategy, creatives without strategy is just art, right? So if you make a nice picture without strategy, it's just a piece of art. And then if you take art and you put strategy together, that's an ad. For me, advertising is more about education and connecting with your target audience and learning about your target audience than trying to sell something. Nobody likes a salesman knocking at their door, asking them to buy into the latest home security technology. But what I would be interested in is somebody sending me an article on the latest things of, you know, how people are breaking into my house. So it's about content. It doesn't have to be traditional ads. I mean, we've all seen the mobile ads that are fake and don't represent gameplay, all that kind of thing. That's not advertising. That's bad content. There's a famous quote that's I think it's like every behind every piece of bad content is an executive who asked for it. It's that kind of thing, right? Like, that's not fake crap and pushy and in your face stuff is not good advertising. Nobody reads ads, right? Nobody reads ads. People read what interests them, and sometimes it happens to be an ad. So if you can create content that is interesting for people, for your target audience, then that's what advertising really is about. Some things you should know about digital advertising. One, it's an auction. People think that you just spend money and it's like all the set price and that's just how much it costs. It's not. It's a bidding war between other companies. They're all bidding for that space, whether it's on a social media platform, whether it's on a website, whatever. It's an auction. And so bid price matters. Ad fatigue, don't run too many ads all the time forever. People get tired of them and are like, and they just switch off. Effective frequency. So effective frequency is actually quite a controversial thing. It was originally designed of like, effective frequency was originally designed to kind of dictate like how many ads a person has to see before they actually do something or, you know, take an action based on that ad. That's all marketing, old school, madmen bullshit. What effective frequency really means is like you have to have a certain amount of ads in play to be able to make an impact across a wide range of people. So it's about, you know, making sure that you've got enough creatives and ads in play so that people can actually, it can make an impact on the awareness of the campaign. And ads can work immediately and they can also, you know, work over time. So sometimes people see an ad and go, that's for me, I like that, I'm in. Other times they might see something else and then see an ad and then look at it like that. And then budget matters. Anybody who tells you that advertising is cheap either hasn't done it or is just lying to make themselves look cool. Advertising is not cheap. Putting $2,000 into Facebook ads will get you fucking nowhere, like absolutely nowhere. It's a drop in the ocean. Real budgets are required here. Now, does that mean if you're an indie developer that you'll like have to spend like $500,000? No, it doesn't. But you can't just put $500 in a month and hope that you make a real impact, because you have to be able to optimize and scale and hit people across the board. And because it's a bidding war, like, you have to be able to have enough, at least enough budget in play to be able to effectively get your ad seen and make an impact on your stuff. Some myths about ads, very quickly, low CPC, which is cost per click. People are like, oh, my cost per click is only 18 cents, right? Doesn't mean shit in reality. It does not mean that's high value. Just because you're getting a lot of traffic, which is another point of this, just because you're getting a lot of traffic doesn't mean that it's good traffic. There's a difference between high quality and high quantity. So if I run an ad campaign and I run it on mobile devices, and I can get a shit ton of traffic from, especially if I'm not targeting any specific location. So 90% of that traffic could be coming from a country on the other side of the world that there's no intention of actual any valuable purchases in there at all, but the ad says I got a lot of traffic and my CPC was really low, so good job. It doesn't mean anything. The reality is that quality matters over quantity. And that also applies for impressions. So saying like, hey, I got 2.2 million impressions, that's great. But if they weren't the eyeballs of your target audience, then it don't matter. Like, it's irrelevant. It's a pointless exercise. So all of these things, you know, you've got to put each of your metrics and your data in context when it comes to that. Ads don't work for PC games is one I always get. It's just blatantly untrue. Otherwise, why would publishers and you know, well-established IPs be advertising all the time for PC? PC games can be incredibly effective across advertising. It's just you've got to know how to do it correctly and target well. And for some games, you know, ads aren't the right thing. Like, I'm not trying to say that ads are perfect for every game in every genre, but there are more often ways to do advertising for games than most people might think, and they can be incredibly effective at gaining wish lists and gaining sales. SEO is dead and content is king. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard marketing people tell me that, like, content is king and the content really matters and that's all that matters. And it's fundamentally untrue. Yes, content does matter, and it's an important piece of the puzzle, but it's a piece of the puzzle. There's more pieces to the puzzle other than content. Targeting, audience building, you know, copy, creative choices, product itself, all these type of things. And SEO is incredibly important. Like, you know, it's important to be able to clearly define your game, make your game searchable, make sure that when people Google your game, that it actually comes up and doesn't come up with something that's going to just bury the store page. SEO is incredibly important still. And you need to be on one I always get is, like, if we're going to do advertising, we need to be on every social media platform. We need to do ads across the board. That's also wildly incorrect and untrue, because it's actually damaging to be on every platform, especially if your target audience isn't on every platform. Like, if you've got a universally appealing game that appeals to a wide range of audiences, then sure, every platform makes sense. But if you've got, like, a niche game that really is only for people between the ages of 35 and 45, then we're not on Snapchat, right? I'm still on Facebook because it's the only Facebook and TikTok, because I like Vine back in the day, like, and Twitter as well, but I kind of regret using that sometimes, especially nowadays. But, like, those are the social media platforms that I've known for years, and so I'm very unlikely to be on, you know, Instagram, because I don't like taking pictures of myself. And I'm definitely not on Snapchat, because I still don't really know what that is. I do really, but I'm making a point. So my point being that, like, your target audience may not be on every platform, so it's important to specify which platforms and do your research about where are audience consuming their content, and then target there. So advertising is a fight for hearts and minds. I've talked about this, and you'll notice this is a theme through this presentation about building emotional connections and evoking emotional response. That is the real name of the game. People have, and you'll know this yourselves when you're on social media or you're, you know, scrolling through websites or whatever, people actually have built inbuilt ad blockers in their head, right? You'll know you're scrolling down your feed and you see an ad and you don't even think twice. You'll just go boop, next, 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 right? Because you know that that's an ad, because you can clearly see it as an ad. The only way to break through that is to make something that your target audience is going to be interested in and, you know, really evokes an emotional response, whether that's excitement, whether that's, you know, fear, whether that's, like, intrigue, whatever. The goal should be to do that. Educate and don't sell. So the best marketing doesn't feel like marketing, which is, I always agree with. Educate and don't sell. You're not trying to push something onto somebody. It's about educating them about your game, educating them about what you're doing, educating them about, you know, whatever it is. So focus on, you know, unique selling points, focus on hooks, inform and excite, evoke emotion, talk to your target audience, communicate with them. Don't just, you know, try and ram shit down their throats. I always like an ugly ad strategy. So where it's about authenticity and content over flash. That's why I call it the ugly ad strategy. It's not about flash. It's about, you know, being authentic, showing what's real, gameplay focused, doesn't look like an ad, can be, you know, looks like organic content or, you know, something specific. So, you know, those are two really good key things to keep in mind when doing ads. Oftentimes that will really help in a big way. Audience targeting is really important. So know who your audience is, know what your audience wants, look at what where your audience is, like we talked about in terms of platforms, and know why your audience will care. So why will your audience care about your game? And so really deep dive into your audience. Platform targeting, content targeting. So pick your platforms where your target audience is, and then make content targeting that specific audience. Don't just make generic stuff. Segmenting audiences. So this is how kind of to think about how to build your audiences. So gamers who are between 18 and 45 is not an audience. That's a demographic. That's not an audience. And real audiences are built using different things. So demographics, psychographics, that's behavioral things. So where they're going, what they buy, what they do, that kind of stuff. Geography, trends, unique selling points, and genre breakdown. So people who like these type of things, people who like this competitor, people like that. And then research and insights. So really deep dive into your audience, create your whole audience, and then segment them where possible into little categories of like, these people will really like this feature, these people really like this thing about our game, and then create content that targets those particular people each and every time. Your copy matters. There's a great quote by Mark Twain, which is the difference between the difference between the almost right word and the right word is the difference between a lightning bug and actual lightning. And it's true. Like, really think about your copy. I'm not saying that it has to be grammatically perfect all the time, or you know, or I'm a grammar stickler or anything like that. But your copy has to be good, and it has to be well thought out and well practiced. This is a quick case study. So this is Mirthwood that we worked on. So when we did ads for Mirthwood, we did a variety of different stuff, including we segmented our audience based on the features. And then we created a mix of key art and screenshots for the ads. Then we also moved to video ads after that. We focused on gameplay and key art and didn't use CG trailers or pre-rendered content. So everything felt way more authentic. And then we focused on specific platforms, which were mostly Facebook and TikTok and YouTube. And then we mixed different styles of ad content and different types of tone of voice as well to test different ways out and what really the audience responded to well. And then we made it simple. The goal is to make it simple and make it memorable. And so we tried to, like, for this particular ad that I did inspired by Fable, Stardew Valley, and RimWorld. There's a lot of like key things that like people will understand in that, in terms of like people, oh well, I know I've played RimWorld, I've played Fable, I've played Stardew Valley, I know what that kind of that rough combination is. We ran those ads in 6 weeks bursts. So that was to basically not avoid ad fatigue. But once you start running ads, most platforms don't tell you this straight out the gate, but you don't really see day zero results until about a week after the ad starts running, because the algorithm on each platform is still learning. So really about a week later after you start running the ads, that's when your real results start. So if you do like 6 week, 4 week, 6 week stints, you get like a really good cross-section of data. And then we try to evoke emotion in the creatives and the copy. So the things we were focused on were wonder, cozy, comfy, wanderlust, intrigue, adventurous, curious, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of, that was kind of, to give you an idea of like what our brains were thinking at the time. Let's see. Optimizing ads, very straightforward process. I'll go through it real quick. You build your content, you test it out for a couple of weeks. once you've tested it out, you optimize and make any changes you need to make. Then you begin your full campaign, and then you finish your full campaign, and then you review, analyze the data, the performance, you optimize, you take out what didn't work, you put in what new stuff, creative things, and then you do it again and you scale up, and you and that's how you kind of optimize ads. I know I went through that a bit quick, but it's kind of the basic process. And there's also like a mix between science and art with it, because, you know, there's a lot of like thinking about like how people are viewing certain images or videos or whatever like that. Building influencer outreach and advertising into a full marketing plan. Now, this is kind of what I want to finish on, is thinking about how all of these elements work together. So like I mentioned earlier, there are some people that will see an ad and it'll go straight away. And then there are some people who will look at something and go, that looks interesting. I'll try and keep that. I'll try and remember that. And it might take them a couple of times to see the game in different places to be able to then go and wish list or buy the game if it's already out. So it's really important to create multiple touch points through your campaign. So I'll give you an example here of a multiple touch point campaign. So let's say you're doing PR. You do the announcement. So the target player sees the announcement in the media, right? Some will convert there into wish lists, some won't. But then the people who don't also see their favorite influencer play the game, or a couple of influencers play it, browsing through YouTube or Twitch or whatever. Then they'll go, oh, I just saw that the other day. And then some will convert there and some might. And then those people who saw it twice already, near enough, or a couple more times than that, then they're getting it on their social feeds or, you know, in advertisement spots. And then they're like, oh, I was seeing that the other day. That looks really cool. And then they might decide to convert at that stage. And so there's different ways of growing that wish list and growing the audience. And at that point, once your target player has interacted across like multiple platforms and has really been educated and seen the game multiple times, they've learned key features, they've learned different things about the game, they become fans. And that's kind of creating a multiple touch point system where you have your marketing, all of your marketing plan elements working together to either instantly or slowly convert your target audience. Sorry, that took a little bit more time than I thought it was going to.
That's all right. Did you want to hit your last slide so we can do some questions? Thank you, it says.
So yeah, hopefully that was somewhat helpful and got you guys thinking about like how you should be thinking about your advertising and influencers and strategy and stuff. But yeah, any questions, any feedback?
Well, we've got a bunch of questions, but we've only got a little bit of time. So if you don't mind after this, if you want to go into our Discord, into the AMA.
I'll hop in the Discord and you guys can chat to me all you want.
All right. Well, let's go through some of them right now. Well, Teddy Gates, what's an effective way to determine the conversion rate of a given influencer? Is there something you simply have to take their word for it? Are there tools out there for measuring?
You don't have to take their word for it, and oftentimes they honestly won't give you it. You can use trackable links. So Bitly is one well-used one. If it's a social media thing, you can use like things like Pixel. It also depends on what your endpoint is. I mean, like if your endpoint is like a website, then it's much easier to track conversions because you can build in the tracking data to the website. But with Steam, obviously, it's Valve. They ain't going to let you do that. So you kind of just have to kind of estimate based on if you used a little bit of Bitly, use a UTM, and then kind of estimate what the results actually are. But there's no 100% perfect way to do it. I wish there was, but there
isn't. So we'll do one more here. What sort of engagement metrics does your firm look for when identifying influencers to approach?
That's a good question. There's lots of different ones. So we look at engagement in terms of interacting, comments, likes. We look at the viewership numbers, the average viewership numbers of the last couple of videos. We look at their subscriber number. We look at their social media numbers. But also we're looking at the content as well. So we're looking at, somewhat less metric based stuff. So personality, what kind of content they produce, what kind of, are they happy influencers? Are they aggressive? All that kind of thing. Because that really matters because they're going to be, to a degree, representing the game in that sense. So it's very important to look at that because don't get too bogged down. Metrics are incredibly important in advertising and in marketing in general, but there's also that intangible element of marketing that's a little bit more anecdotal that you also have to factor in when doing your marketing. And that's the kind of things that you can't quantify. And so you've got to take that into account, especially with influencers, because it's like, Yeah, this influencer may not have massive metrics, but there's something about their content that drives, like, is very, very good. And you never know, like, influencers get big all the time. So that might be the piece of content that goes viral and does really well. So you've got to think about it within the context of using both metrics and you know, subjective stuff as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. There's a bunch of other questions, but like I said, discord.gg/indiegamebusiness, and you scroll down under the, what is that header called? It's called AMA questions. So if you guys want to jump in there, Michael will be more than happy, and we appreciate it, Michael. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.